Mukti here. Now let us go to the 9th chapter, the Raja Vidyam Raja Guhya Yoga. It is called Raja Vidyam Raja Guhya Yoga. It also is in the Madhyama Shatkam, the middle section of the Gita. And here also, the three main topics are Ishvara Swarupam, Upasana, and Ishvara Anugraha. All these three things are the main topics here. Ishvara Swarupam, Upasana, and Ishvara Anugraha. Now let us read shloka number 1. Atha Navamodhyayaha Raja Vidya Raja Guhya Yogaha Shri Bhagavan Vacha Idam Tute Guhya Tamam Pravakshyamyana Suyave Jnanam Vijnana Sahitam Yajnatva Moksha Sesubhat. So Krishna, in all other cases, Krishna was waiting for a question from Arjuna to answer. Here Krishna does not even wait for any question from Arjuna, because if Krishna had waited, Arjuna might go away perhaps, because in the previous chapter Krishna talked about Krama Mukti, right? And Arjuna might have liked Krama Mukti very much. For us, you know, Krama Mukti only is good, he might have thought. So either they are diffident or they have concluded that Krama Mukti alone is, you know, suitable for us. So whatever may be that, Arjuna might think that that is what suits him and he might leave away. So without stopping for even breathing, Krishna immediately continues the next chapter with his own words. Idam tute guhyatamam, Arjuna, no doubt I have talked about upasana to you to be practiced throughout your life and to attain Krama Mukti in the previous chapter. I talked about so much of upasana, but that is not the best. Even though I talked so much about that to you, it is not the best. Certainly it is superior to Kevala Karma Marga, Krishna Gati. It is superior, definitely. It leads to a higher result. You can go to Swargalokas. But I am going to teach you something still superior, where there is neither Krishna Gati nor Shukla Gati. None of these Gatis. Where the moksha is here and now. It is called Agatihi. No Shukla Gati, no Krishna Gati, Agatihi. The moksha is here and now. And this teaching, Krishna is calling by the name Raja Vidyam Raja Guhya Yogaha. That is the name of this chapter, the greatest among the teaching, which alone was called in the Mundaka Upanishad as Paravidya. I have already used this term earlier for you. Paravidya and Aparavidya, that is a term from the Mundaka Upanishad. First, the teacher talks about karma there. In Mundaka Upanishad, the teacher talks about karma and how it will take a person to Swargaloka and bring the person down. Shine Punye Martyalokam Vishanti. After the Punya balance is exhausted, he'll come back. So, actually, Krishna Gati is always talked about there. Ishta Purtam Manyamana Varishtam Nanya Shreyaha Vedayante Pramudhana Nakasya Prishte Te Sukrite Anubhutva Imam Lokam Hina Taramva Vishanti. That's how it is given there. First, karma is talked about there. And after talking about karma, then Swargaloka, the destination, that is given. And then they come down. Then the Upanishad goes to the next higher step. Tapaha Shraddeye Hyupava Santaranye Shanta Vidvamsaha Baishyacharyam Charantaha Suryadvarena. Suryadvarena refers to the Shuklagadi. It is also called the Suryagadi or Shuklagadi. Suryadvarena Ye Virajaha Prayanti Yatra Amrutaha Saham Purushaha Hyayatma. Talks about they go through the Suryagati, like Shuklagati. They go to Brahmaloka. There afterwards, they get knowledge. Yatra Amrutaha Sapurushaha. And after talking about the Upasana, then the Upanishad itself says, Pariksha Lokan Karmachitan Brahmano Nirvedamayat Natyakrutaha Kritena Tad Vijnanartham Sa Guru Meva Abhigachete. Karma also is Aparavidya alone. And Upasana also is Aparavidya alone. Since none of them give liberation here and now. Neither karma nor Upasana will give liberation here and now. And so one should gain knowledge here itself, which will give moksha here and now. And this vidya is known as Paravidya. That knowledge which will give moksha here and now itself is called Paravidya. Similarly, in the 8th chapter, Krishna talked about Upasana, the Aparavidya. And in the 9th chapter, Krishna is talking about Paravidya, the knowledge, ultimate knowledge. And then he will come back to Upasana itself and he will point out then, even for Paravidya, Upasana is necessary for getting Chitta Naishchalyam and Chitta Ekagrata, focus. For that, a person still needs Upasana. But thereafterwards, one should come to Paravidya only, not Aparavidya. And in this Paravidya, Krishna is introducing the first three shlokas of this chapter. Idam jnanam tu pravakshyami. Krishna uses the word here, tu. Jnanam tu pravakshyami. Tu, the word tu here indicates it's a different topic. Shankaracharya writes, tu shabdo visesha nirdharanarthaha. That's what he writes. So it's a different topic. O Arjuna, I am going to talk something different from what I had talked earlier in the 8th chapter and something superior than what I talked also. Idam jnanam. Previously it was yogaha, which was known as upasana earlier in the 8th chapter. But I am going to talk about jnanam here, not upasana anymore, jnanam. And what type of jnanam it is? Guhyatamam jnanam. Guhyam means secret, the greatest secret. I am going to talk to you about the greatest secret. And we should remember the meaning of the secret in the scriptures. When it says secret, what does it mean? First meaning that is that it is sacred. Secret in scriptures means it's sacred, should be very carefully protected. And the second meaning is it is rarely known. That knowledge is not commonly available. It is not publicly known at all. Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschit jhanati. Among thousands of people, only one or two. So, Sravanayapim Bahubihi Nalabhyaha, Katopanishad says. Those who are attending Katopanishad, they will see all these things. Ascharyavatim Pashyati Kaschidenam Kaschid Dhiraham Pratyagatmanam Aikshate. So, these are all various places. They say how this is such a secretive knowledge. This is not a knowledge open to you. So, Guhyam refers to the rareness of this knowledge. Secret means rareness of this knowledge. So, it is most valuable. Because it is rare, it is most valuable. The rarer the thing, more valuable it is. So, this is the second meaning. And the third meaning was, Krishna himself has said earlier, Na buddhi bedam janayet ajnanam karma sanginam yoshayet sarva karmani vidwan yuktaha samacharanam. This knowledge must be given only after seeing whether the person deserves to know this knowledge or not. It cannot be just given like some, you know, vinyoma of subchundal or something. This has to be carefully given to others. Otherwise, this cannot be easily understood by them. So, like what? Like sarvadharman parityajya, that is the shloka. Towards the end, at the 18th chapter, we will see that. Sarvadharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja. People will say, oh, Krishna asks you to abandon all dharmas. So I don't have to follow any discipline or anything. That's what people will interpret. They are all wrong interpretations if they don't understand that properly. And if you tell everyone, give up all dharmas, they are very happy. Already the person is not doing any dharma at all. He is not at all a dharmic person. So he will immediately say Krishna himself supports his behavior. And the Upanishad says, you see, that also. So, and also there is another beautiful thing in the Upanishad. Na karmana na prajayadanena. So, na karmana, there is no karma is not at all needed. And so many people may interpret and it may spoil them also because if they don't understand properly. So, to indicate that, it has to be given to only deserving people. People who can understand that, who have the background to understand that. Only to such people this should be given. So, that is why it is said to be secret. So, it is called Guhyatamam, the greatest secret. Guhyam, Guhyataram, Guhyatamam. Tamam is the superlative degree. And not only I am going to give you this jnanam, but it is vijnana sahitam. Jnanam, vijnana sahitam, along with vijnanam also. Actually, we have mentioned jnanam and vijnanam in some other context earlier. The difference between jnanam and vijnanam is, it has come, actually the 6th chapter we have talked about this, jnana vijnana yuktatma kutastaha vijitendraha. We have already seen that. Yukta ityuchyate yogi samaloshtashma kanchanaha. We have seen that also at that time. In the 7th chapter also, the usage of jnanam and vijnana sahitam has come. Here, we are just only to refresh what is jnanam and vijnanam. Jnanam means paroksha jnanam and vijnanam means aparoksha jnanam. These words also I have used earlier, but we are going to just only refresh. So initially when the Lord or Brahman is talked about, we always listen to that, thinking what people talk to us about Lord, Brahman. We listen to as what? That we are talking about some Ishvara, who is Jagat Karanam, who is the cause for the entire universe, Jagat Adhishtanam, the support for the universe, Sarvagataha, all pervading. We hear all that thing. So, Parastasmatum Bhavonyaham Avyaktaham Avyaktat Sanatanaha. So, in the previous chapter we saw that, that Param Brahma is beyond Karyam and Karanam. We read all that thing. So, it is Avyaktaha, Aksharaha, all that we said. Thus, all the time, we think that there is some such Brahman. That is what we tend to think. When we read about all these things about Brahman, we think that is some such Brahman elsewhere. This is called objective knowledge. Because we think that the Brahman is different from us, based on the descriptions. And later, when we seriously try to know that Brahman, because majority of people never even try, where is the question of seriously trying? How can there be ashabdam, asparsham, arupam, agandam, arasam, without any of these attributes? It's not interesting at all to me, right? With any of those attributes. So what is that, you know, that satyam, jnanam, anantam, brahma, what is all that? If a person seriously tries to understand that, then the scriptures will point out to him never to try to look for that at all. The more you search, the more you will miss it only. If you are searching for it, you will miss it only. And to that serious student, the teacher will point out that asparsham, arupam, arasam, agandam is nothing but tvam asi. That is tvam asi. It is yourself only. And when the student receives that knowledge and takes it as I, the awareness, I, the Chaitanya awareness, paraprakriti. This is paraprakriti, which is jivabhuta mahabaho yayedam daryate jagat. When I understand that Ishvara as myself, then it is called vijnanam. So this is jnanam and vijnanam. So the objective knowledge is jnanam and the subjective knowledge is vijnanam. Beda jnanam is jnanam or paroksha jnanam. And abheda jnanam is vijnanam or aparoksha jnanam. So, Veda Jnanam is Paroksha Jnanam, Abheda Jnanam is Vijnanam or Aparoksha Jnanam. So, this Jnanam along with Vijnanam I shall give you now. That's what Krishna tells to Arjuna. Okay, is it not a contradiction? We might think that way. Because one may say, it is topmost secret you said. Krishna himself said it is topmost secret. Then is it not necessary that you tell that? You know, you won't tell me because one should not tell that. It's a topmost secret. But Krishna says, Pravakshyami, I will say that very well to you. Even though it is topmost secret, I am going to tell that. Then Krishna himself gives the reason why he says, Anasuyave Pravakshyami, because I find you to have the qualification for receiving this knowledge. The most important qualification being Shraddha. You have Shraddha. You have got the faith. So you got Shraddha. And so he says, Anasuyave. You are free from Asuya. Asuya means, that's a beautiful definition for Asuya. Paraguneshu dosha avishkaranam Asuya. Paraguneshu dosha avishkaranam Asuya. Seeing always defect in others. It is an universal problem. Whenever failure comes, what do we really do? If we really examine our mind, we will always try to find out which person around me is responsible for my failure. We will never attribute that failure to ourselves. We will always try to find somebody else whom we can blame for our failure. The search will be everybody else except myself. So we always found, for example, in family also the same thing. Husband says it is because of wife. It is because of daughter-in-law. Always, this is the case. So, if you really interview the wife, she will say, if only my husband has been a little more saner. That's what she would say. Children will say, parents don't know anything anyway. So, as Swamiji, you know, beautifully says, Siddhayana Swamiji, to err is human, but to put it on somebody else's head is more human. To err is human, put on somebody else's head is more human. And always the critical mind will do what? Initially, it will find fault in others, which is existing. But after some time, the mind will even find fault with something which is non-existent. First, it will try to find fault with those things which exist, and later on non-existent things also. So even if the other person has done with noble intention, it will begin to see paraguneshu dosha avishkaranam. So even if the other person has a good intention, he will only look at some dosha there. He will not look at the good. He will try to look at, even he will attribute illness to his attitude. Earlier, para dosheshu dosha darshanam was there, looking at existing doshas. We are supposed to see only gunas all the time. And the worst mistake is what? Seeing dosha in every guna also. If there is some good quality also, he sees only dosha. So this is called secondary adhyasam. Superimposition. Adhyasa means superimposition. So pararandram prakatikaranam, etc. This is called pararandra prakatikaranam, we call it. Which is very, very bad habit. It's not a good habit at all. So first thing necessary is what? I should learn to find fault with myself only first. After ruling out that I should definitely not have done this, then only I can try to look for some other reason, somebody else or other reason to find out the cause for that mistake. So it actually should not create a guilty complex also. But to introspect and improve, I should analyze, I should ask myself, how can I change for the better? That should be always my thinking. So by this introspection, it is not giving me a guilty complex, but it is trying to improve me. And this character is called Anasuya. Anasuya way. In the shloka it has come. So Anasuya is this quality. That is why Anasuya Devi, that is this Anasuya Devi is called by that name. She is the wife of Atri Maharishi. There was one Atri Maharishi. She is his wife. And if it is a male person, we call it Anasuyaha. And it is strilingam, female person, we call it Anasuya. Long. So, and Arjuna, you are Anasuyaha. Actually, a lot of people also say Anusuya. That is not Anusuya, it is Anasuya. And how does it help a Vedantic seeker now? Anasuyaha is not only an important character in day-to-day life, in Vedantic context, how it is going to help? It will help with respect to our attitude towards the scriptures and the teacher. Both should be very good. I will never find fault with the scriptures at all. I will not say scripture is confusing. I will say my ability to understand is not enough. I will never blame the scriptures. I know the scriptures are blemishless because it is given by whom? By the Lord himself. I should have that faith. So, Ishvara Pranitam, it is Apaurisheyam. Purusha buddhi dosha rahitam. Only Purusha buddhi will have doshas. Whereas this is Ishwaras. And so even if in some places scripture may appear to be meaningless and confusing, possible. I never say scriptures are wrong and confusing, but I only say my intellect is not refined enough to understand it. So and interpret it properly. So I need help from other scholars. And so what I do? I look at the scriptures again and again till I have got a different angle of looking so that I can correct my own shortcomings. And I understand that there is a valid teaching. So till I get a valid teaching, I will not give up. This is the attitude with respect to scriptures. And in keeping with the teacher also, who teaches everything that is given only in the scriptures, sometimes the teacher also may be seemingly confusing. He may appear to be confusing. There also, Yamishreneva Vakyena, Buddhi Mohayasi Iva Me. Krishna, Arjuna said earlier, Krishna, your teaching seems to be confusing to me. Arjuna said in the third chapter. But I don't think you are confusing, but I am only confused. Karpanya Doshaha Pavaka Swabhavaha Prichamitvam Dharmasam Mudachedaha. That's what Arjuna said. The confusion is in me, but my tendency is always that confusion is in someone else. Today, it's a dull day, we say. That's what normally we say. The day is not dull. I am dull. I put it on the day. In the same way, I may tend to criticize the scriptures. It is called asuya. If I start criticizing, it's called asuya. If I don't do that, it's called anasuya. So telling that the scriptures are valid only in Arjuna's time, then some people are like this. They will say, oh, all these scriptures and all, they are all in for yesteryears, Arjuna's time, not in Kali Kalam. Today is Kali. You know, we should not talk, apply all these. All only for listening and writing notes, maybe at best. No more useful for any practical purpose at all. That's what many people conclude. So what Swamiji actually, he says about the problems is family or in professional life, if not, they will say what? Krama Mukti is good enough. So they will say all these things are not for my family life or in my professional life for practical applications. It is all for those days. Good to listen, good hearing. That's all they will say. Interesting hearing, not even good. They may say interesting hearing. They will say otherwise Krama Mukti is good enough. Who wants all this moksha, jivan mukti and all that thing? I will go to Punya Lokas, enjoy there. That's what people normally come to conclusion. So what maximum will happen otherwise? I won't get mukti. That is fine. We have still lot of time for that. That is what people generally have the attitude. Always our mind wants to compromise. So asuya rahitaya, put it actually positively, it is shraddha. It is a non-critical mind, a non-finding fault mind, a mind that always look at all things positively, the power of positive thinking. Yesterday I was mentioning. So anasuya vete aham jnanam pravakshyami. Pravakshyami, I will teach you as many times as necessary till you nod your head in understanding. Nashto mohaha smritir labdha tat prasadan mayachudaya. That's what Arjuna says in the 18th chapter at the conclusion of Gita. Relentless teaching. Pravakshyami. Okay, why should I teach you at all? What is the benefit of this teaching? Yat jnatvam ashubhat mokshase. Gaining which knowledge, you will be liberated. You will be liberated from ashubham, amangalam, dukkham, samsara. You will be liberated from this. So ashubhat means samsarat. So any negative thing like raga, dvesha, kama, krodha, all of them, they have got only one result. What is that? Dukkham. Dukkham alone is the result of all that. That is why we see in the very first chapter is what? Kripaya paraya vishtaha vishidan idam abraviyata. When Arjuna developed kripa, kripa means attachment. What was the immediate consequence? Dukkham was the immediate consequence. Thus all the shad vairis, the enemies, internal enemies, kama, krodha, lobha, moha, madha, matsaryadi, all these internal enemies, all have got the end product, dukkham. That alone is the final result of all of them. So any dukkham caused by any one of them, Arjuna's dukkham is what? Was caused by two prominent things. One is raga, another is moha. We already saw that, raga and moha. Other than these two, krodha are also is there, krodha, kama, they are also there. So ashubham, ashubham refers to samsara. Shubham here refers to samsara. And from the samsara, you will be able to get out. Because Arjuna's problem is what? Nahi prapashyami mama panudhyad yachokamuchoshanam indriyanam havapyabhuma vasapatnam riddhim rajyam suranam apichadipatyam. That is what Krishna said at the earlier itself, the second chapter. What Arjuna said? I don't find any way out of this sorrow. It's Arjuna's words. I don't find any way out of this sorrow. Even by getting Indraloka, Rajyam Suranamapi, even if you get Indraloka, if I want to get that also, I don't think I will be out of this sorrow. And so Krishna tells, I am giving you the method by which Ashubhad Mokshase. You will be liberated from Ashubham. And this knowledge is going to be called Raja Vidya, Raja Guhya Yoga in the next shloka. So this is what Krishna is going to teach, called Raja Vidya, Raja Guhya Yoga.